Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, welcome back. Brian Mitchell Show, Team 980, Team980.com, and the Radio.com app as I come to you from the house today. Having a little fun here. I'm going to post up my little setup. This is the biggest studio I've ever been in my life. I probably can do like some running around segments and things if I had like a camera here in the background to do something. Next time around, I'm going to just have to bring you over, and you and I can do some stuff and tape it. You know, it'll be like that interactive radio show. See, we haven't done it. New idea. You can do some stuff out there. We might have everybody doing it, then they can have to give us some money because they copy what we put out there. I'll be taking your phone calls, 301-230-0980. It is Open Call Wednesday, as we always do. We get everybody over the hump, and if we help each other out, we can definitely do that. So let's go to Hugh in Pasadena. What's up, Hugh?
Hey, Brian. How you doing, man?
Doing well, brother.
It's always an honor to speak with you. And it was great to hear you talking to Coach yesterday. I've been a Chiefs fan for longer than you've been alive.
Wow.
And I remember last year when you spoke to him in playoff time, too.
Dude, man, he's a good guy.
He really is. And I tell you what, I was so happy to get him because I knew when Philly was letting him go, we hired him less than a week later, and we got Alex the same time, and that started our turnaround, which was great. That's why I love Alex as well.
All right.
All right, take care, Brian. Always.
Hi, man. You too, brother. Take care of yourself, man. Let's go to Potomac and check out Chin. What's up, Chin?
Hey, Brian. How are you?
I'm good, man.
Hey, so I want to talk Taylor Heinicke. I know everyone's been talking about him to death, but I want to know – you know, a lot of people seem to have this false optimism coming out of the season and the last two games because they played Tampa very competitively. But the fact is, without Taylor Heinicke, we would have gotten crushed like 40-10. And so people seem to think that, okay, Taylor Heinicke is a backup and we're going to do better next year. So, you know, we should feel very optimistic. But the fact is the Eagles tanked to give us the last regular season game. And we would have lost 40-10 without Taylor Heinicke. Why don't we have him as the natural starter for next year? And people talking like they want to bring in, like, draft a quarterback, let's say like Justin Fields or something like that. Uh-huh. Or Matthew Stafford. Why is everyone so quick to give up on this guy? It's driving me nuts.
But Chin, stay here, and I don't want you to hang up. This is the thing I said about Taylor Heinicke. I think Taylor Heinicke was outstanding at ODU. I think Taylor Heinicke was outstanding in these last few games. But he played five quarters. And I think when you see football teams begin to change, it will affect the way he's played. Now, I totally believe that Taylor Heinicke, if we're going to say anything about the rest of the guys coming back, he damn sure should be in the competition. But just saying make him the starter, I don't buy that. Because I don't think Taylor Heinicke did it by himself. I just finished talking. I played quarterback in high school and college myself. Most dependent position in all the sports. You can't do it by yourself. Now, he brought a level of excitement and that – pushes people. The same way Alex Smith brings a confidence level that pushes people. But you got to realize one thing, and I think this is what people are concerned about. And I made my comment by saying it's football. People get hurt. Every time he started, he got hurt. You see what I'm saying? So that troubles people.
That's the only fair comment that I can hear with respect to that.
Yeah, but I like the kids. I like it. I like his moxie because what he showed me is the ball come out of his hand as quick as anybody. I think he has shown, as far as running that offense, he ran it better than any quarterback that we had all last year. All four quarterbacks, he ran it better because with Alex, I knew it was going to be check downs or mid-range. With Taylor, it was all over the field. Okay, Dwayne and Kyle didn't have long enough to really, really show a lot. Dwayne had his issues with it, but I think Taylor played better than anybody out there. So, yes, I think he should come into it, but I don't think just make him the starter. Don't make anybody the starter. Everybody got to fight.
Well, by the way, there's a video on YouTube called Taylor Heinicke Gets Cut for Playing Too Good. It's actually talking about how he got cut last year from the Panthers, even though he had the best stats of all the quarterbacks. So this is kind of an ongoing thing with him. I think the problem is that people see a quarterback that's only 6 feet and feel like that can't be your franchise quarterback.
But well, there was just
one
other
example. It's like Russell Williams, Wilson, and so forth. I think he's the guy. It just drives me nuts that we're giving up on him. And the fact is, if we bring in Matthew Stafford, Taylor Heinicke's not going to have a chance to start for the team.
If they bring him Matthew Stafford, he's coming in making a lot of money. If they commit to that, then he's going to be your starter. But I agree with you, and I think many people are looking at the size of the person. And then a lot of people in the NFL, they decide what you're supposed to look like to be a certain position. Well, Drew Brees doesn't look like how a quarterback's supposed to look. He's passed for 80,000 yards, 500 and something touchdowns, played over 20 years in the NFL. That says enough right there. Appreciate your call, man. And I tell people, you know, hell, I was a punt returner, and they thought that – being 5'10 and a half, weighing 216 to 220 was too big to be a punt returner because you wouldn't be shifty enough. Go look at the stats. I proved that I can do it. Let's go to North Carolina. Check out Darren. What's up, D?
Doing pretty good, B-Mitch, man. Appreciate you taking my call, man. And I really just want to – I hope you're doing well in the family and everything, man. You got a beautiful family, man. I've seen those pictures over the holidays. I better say something about that before, but –
appreciate you, brother.
Beautiful family, brother. Yes, sir. No, thank you. But I really feel like – after hearing you tell JP about, you know, the things Joe Gibbs said to you and what Andy Reid said to you about your example of interviewing somebody, not necessarily in the course of that hour, but in the course of over the time you're working with them. So I say that to say what they're doing now as far as from the Ron Rivera hire, from the firing of those executives, from – you know, the revamping of the coaching staff and the training staff, the players that they're bringing in, and hoping that this draft that is coming in and whatever hires they bring in and, you know, and the higher-ups, that it all breathes for a culture that we're going to look back on years from now and say they did it the right way. And I love this 7-9 season. For me as a fan, the 3-13s, the 4-12, the 8-7-1 seasons. That 7-9 felt it made me feel better about where we're going now because I went through those seasons. I went through the Tony Banks. I went through the John Beck. I went through the Rex Grossman era. I went through that, and hoping that now going forward that this culture, what Ron is doing with the team, and like you saying it a lot. These guys are playing hard for him. He's coaching up the coaches. The coaches are coaching along with him for that matter. And they're believing in what the coaches are saying. This is our game plan, and they're believing it. You can tell by the way that they're playing. You can tell by the interview. These players are playing for a purpose and not playing for a check. He's getting football players, not professional, you know, not guys that just want to be a professional athlete, guys that want to play football. And I'm believing it, you know, and I hope that with this draft we get the right pieces around the team, at starting at quarterback and on defense, and that 7-9 flips into 9-7, or hell, even 8-8, whatever it does. I feel like they're going in the right direction. We're ending this tangent. I'm riding with this team. It's always going to be held to the burgundy and gold. B. Mitch, keep doing it. How you doing it? 1,000% every day, brother. Much love.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you, Darren. All right, and I agree with Dan. You know, it's like sometimes, you know, we get stuck. And when we see things we don't want, it's like we do. We live in a microwave society where it needs to happen yesterday or we pissed off with it. You have to build something some type of way. You know, the little saying, Rome wasn't built in a day. Well, winners aren't built in a day either. Falls Church, let's check out Mike. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, B. Mitch, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you, brother.
Hey, I don't know if you remember me from the other day, but I work in the retail field, grocery retail field, for 26 years now.
Yes, yes.
So, yeah. What I have to say about the hiring of this guy from North Carolina, the Carolina Panthers, is actually a good hire, even though everybody's doubting about it. So I actually can apply to my own type of business. So when I opened up new stores, everybody hired people for me in order to open up new stores. Mm-hmm. And there's some people of them, you know, they've never worked with me, and they don't know my style on the way I manage things or I go about things. Mm-hmm. So Ron Rivera's hire is actually good for the team because he knows how this guy ticks and how their style of coaching, what he wants to better the team. Same thing that applied when I'm opening up new stores and I hire my own team. It's much more productive than what people are actually hiring people for me. You know, when that goes, it's actually a better balance. I'll tell you one story. Mm-hmm. I hired some people from my old team to open up a new store, and some of the corporate people hired people for me. 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, we have a water main leak damage in our store. I call every single department managers that I have, including my co-managers and assistants. The only ones that responded is the ones that I actually hired that used to work for me. Mm-hmm. None of the ones that corporate hired answered their phone. And I'll tell you right now, I think it's a great hire for Ron, even though everybody's knocking him on that. What's your thoughts on that?
No, I agree with you. Appreciate your call. I think that you knew when you made the phone call that your people were going to respond. You didn't know about the others. And moving forward, I think if y'all got everything right the next day, I think moving forward, corporate is going to say, who do you want to hire? And I think that's the same way with Ron, because they know they've been in battles with him. They know where he's going to go with things. And now it's not about trying to teach the person to know what you know. They already knows it. They already know it. So I agree with you. And I think the analogies are right on point. I don't want to have to teach somebody to think like I think if I already have somebody who knows how I think. I think that's the best way to go. Let's go to North Carolina. Check out Dustin. Dustin, what's happening, brother?
Hey, B-Mitch, how's it going?
I'm good, man.
First off, I just wanted to say thank you for what you do. I tune into the show every day at work, and it helps me get through the day.
But, appreciate you.
My question to you is, if Alex Smith doesn't want to retire, do you think that they have the guts to be able to cut him?
I think Ron Rivera definitely does. And I think the situation at the end of the season is going to make them seriously think about that. Because in any other situation, you may think that somebody might have been out, may have been out of the play. But I've heard it has nothing to do with the old injury. But I can't believe that. I went to school. I learned a lot myself. And when you see that documentary and you see most of that leg gone at the bottom, and then they have to take parts from other body to build it back up, and then you can't really flex and move your leg, like your foot, like you want to, and then all of a sudden now you got the stuff, you have to have an apparatus on it to help you move your foot. You also have other parts from, from what I read somewhere, it says some of the parts he can't really feel. So everything that happens to that leg has something to do with the old injury. And I think they have to think about that moving forward, because this game is not about, oh, great stories. This game is about you can be seriously hurt if you're not 100% out there. And I think they have to have that in their mindset too. So, you know, I think if Alex wants to go on, their decision needs to be made based off the fact, are we going to be able to put him on the field and not be concerned and not have to worry about that injury over and over again? And if he gets hurt, will it be extended based off of the fact of the old injury?
Yeah, I agree. Thank you for taking my call, B.
All right, man. Appreciate you. All right, let's take a quick break here. When we get back, we'll be joined by Antonio Freeman, pride of Baltimore, also played up there in Miami, played for the Philadelphia Eagles and the Green Bay Packers. We'll get his take on Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. I'm sure he's going to be pushing them all forward, see what the Cheeseheads are going to do against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll be back. All right, welcome back to the Brian Mitchell Show, and I just saw something pop up. It says rumors. The Washington football team is rumored to be in the play for Deshaun Watson. So that's something else. When we open back up the calls, I'm sure some people are called about that. Rumors. The Washington football team are rumored to be in that little deal when it comes down to Deshaun Watson. But joining us now is my buddy, my former teammate in Philadelphia. He also played a little stint quickly in Miami and played two stints from 95 to 2001 and 2003 with the Green Bay Packers. Super Bowl 31 champion, Pro Bowler from 1998, all first team All-Pro, led the league in receiving yards, and a member of the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame from Baltimore, Antonio Freeman. What's up, Free? How you doing, man?
Hey, B. Mitch, I'm feeling good now, man. You know what? And you probably can attest to this. You don't hear a lot of those great things about us much after the game, man. So, you know, to hear you with so much energy and just history about, you know, me, man, I'm sitting here smiling, man. I'm ready to go.
Hey, man, like I say, you did that stuff, man. Somebody got to be out there and recognize for you. If your friends can't do it, who the hell going to do it? And you know I bring energy when I'm out doing something. I'm not going to do it if I don't like it. When I play ball with you, I try to be like the young dudes. I'm going to bring some energy so they don't say he getting old. We got to get rid of him.
And I love it. I love it. That's what makes you be Mitch, baby.
All right, baby. So listen, man, just like I was so happy to see the Washington football team begin to make some noise this year, and hopefully they can be in the game that your team is in, be in the NFC Championship game again here soon. How good did you feel about the season that Aaron Rodgers and the crew had?
I think one word sums it up, Brian, and it's surprised. Mm. You look at this football team, and you know Aaron Rodgers, you know Devontae Adams, you know, but the way that offensive line has played this year, and you know in sports, you and I are skilled players. We get a lot of the press and glory, but man, that offensive line has played well. They've allowed Aaron Rodgers time to find Devontae Adams for 18 touchdown throws this year. Sure. They've developed the philosophy that they stole from the San Francisco 49ers some playoffs ago with that three running back monster. They've created that now with Aaron Jones, with Williams, and now with the young guy, Dillon. So what we saw last week, 200 yards rushing, that's the offensive line and that three-headed monster in the backfield taking over. And I think when you talk about cold games in January, that's what it comes down to.
I think when you look at that team, and normally when you have a team that has a passing game like the Packers do, they don't normally have a running game. But your running back is as good as any out there. You know, you watch him, he looks like a receiver, has a great ability to start, stop, change of direction, lives in the end zone. How good is the running game as well? Because at this time of the year, we know passing games will be as good as they want to be, but you better have a running game to go along with it.
You know, B. Mitch, we played with guys similar to Aaron Jones. We played with Deuce Staley. You know, we played with Westbrook. And when you look at those guys physically, you don't really see them as that powerful and that explosive running backs. But when they hit that field, you gain a lot of respect for these guys. And a lot of respect, you look to the other side in Tampa Bay. They've got a nice thing going with Ronald Jones and Fournette and the things that they do running the football as well. Ronald Jones had 100 yards running the football last week. I'm sure they'll come in looking to do a lot of that with 25-degree weather in Green Bay. So it's really, you know, two really good teams. Tampa Bay really put a whipping on Green Bay earlier this year down in Tampa. How do I know? Because I took my son to that game, and he was ready to go after the third quarter. So it should be a really, really good game.
All right, go ahead, Free. You were saying how your son wanted to leave.
Yeah, you know, I went down to that game thinking it was going to be everything that the hype was about, and Tampa Bay blew us out. I took my 16-year-old son, and –
you know, those kids get antsy after a while. And while the Tampa fans was cheering and taunting us and giving us signs, he was ready to go in the third quarter. So I had to teach him, son, we got to sit through this because you only learn and get better from getting your butt whipped sometimes.
That's it, man. That's it. But when you look at that first game and you see the game coming up this weekend, both teams are different now. You know, Tom Brady and his crew hadn't even really learned the offense as they're learning. They're playing it now. What do you think needs to be different if the Packers are going to come out with the victory?
Ball control. They have to run the football. As you mentioned, these are two different teams now. Tom Brady's a little more comfortable with this offense, with these receivers. He's got two very good tight ends, and Gronkowski, and I think great, the other tight end, number 84. He doesn't get a lot of credit, but I look at him to be one of the keys to the game this week, because this week's game is not going to be about the obvious weapons. It's going to be about game planning for those other guys who typically aren't involved in those plays. And that's what playoff championship football comes down to. It's about coaching, detailed coaching, and execution from the players.
We're talking to Antonio Freeman, former Philadelphia Eagle, Miami Dolphin, and Green Bay Packer. He's a Super Bowl champion, a Pro Bowler, an All-Pro person, led the league in offensive yards, and he's in the Green Bay Packer Hall of Fame. I've been telling people, Free, I say, yeah, we have two historically great quarterbacks. We have receivers that have done some great things with Evans and your man Devontae. Okay, the running backs, as you stated earlier, but this is going to be about what happens on the defensive side of the football. And Todd Bowles, my former teammate, knows how to draw up some stuff. You know, do you feel that it's going to be more about what defense plays the best rather than Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers?
Absolutely. I touched on the offensive line play and the running backs from both teams. Definitely. I mean, that first game down in Tampa Bay's defense totally dominated that football game. St. Paul and Sue and those guys up front, they caused so much ruckus earlier that it was pretty much over at half. So it's definitely going to be about protecting Aaron Rodgers, and on the other side, protecting our boy Tom Brady. But defensively, you know, and I know, Bowles is going to blitz. But can you get home? Rodgers is one of the best ones at just getting the ball out in precision timing to his receivers. And those one-on-one matchups outside between these corners and these elite receivers that you touched on. So, yes, it's definitely going to come down to the defensive front, which one can get enough push. And on the back end, if you're not getting as much push with the defensive front, how well are those defensive backs going to play with no pressure?
Yeah, one thing I noticed about the Packers over the years, Aaron Rodgers has been Aaron Rodgers throughout. But his defense sometimes in these playoffs don't play as well. And I know the game has changed where people are throwing the football around and things of that nature. But I also know when you can play big ball, rough house, bully ball, run the football on people, you change the ball game. And that is something where Bruce Arians didn't always have that with his offense. But with Byron Leftwich and all, they're trying to run the ball. And right now, you mentioned it a little earlier, Leonard Fournette is starting to run. He didn't play in the first game against Green Bay. Now he seemed to be the guy who they're going at the most.
Absolutely. And as a Packers Hall of Famer and a Packers fan, that's what scares me. Yes, we have two Pro Bowl defensive end that can get after the quarterback. But that 3-4 defense with those two rush ends standing up, you know, now you're going to put so much pressure on those defensive tackles. Kenny Clark, who's one of the highest paid defensive tackles in the NFL, and that crew there. So when I think about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that is the one thing that concerns me. With Green Bay allowing 9,000 fans into the stadium this week, it'll still be as loud as it was 60,000 fans there. But if Tom Brady and that offensive line can get started and move the chains by simply running the football and keeping Aaron Rodgers on the sideline, yes, that is and move the chains by simply running the football and keeping Aaron Rodgers on the sideline, yes, That is my primary concern going into Sunday's game. I think throwing the football, I think it's apples to apples with both guys and their core weapons and receivers. But you just touched on it, B. Mitch. That's going to be the key. When Fournette comes downhill and he's wearing you down in the third quarter, in the beginning of the fourth quarter, and then Ronald Jones III just pops through with one of those explosive game-changing plays that he does, that's definitely going to be key this week.
Free, I want to ask you about some about Washington football team, also Baltimore, and then a little at the end I asked you something about Andy Reid because we both had a chance to play under him. And I tell people they keep looking for these young, innovative coaches. They better just go follow Andy Reid. Hell, he's been innovative since I first met him. But looking at Baltimore, getting into the playoffs, and then it seemed like their offense doesn't get over the hump for them. What needs to be their next step to be able to truly take advantage of the defense they have and a hell of a running game, but they can't seem to pass the ball when they effectively need to do it?
You know, being from Baltimore, you know, I'm not a huge Ravens fan, but when I look at this game last week, B. Mitch, I talked about coaches putting your players in the best situation to make plays because every play is important. There's no next week. There's no tomorrow. So when I look at Lamar throwing that interception in the red zone, I think back to what type of coach would make that type of call if they really knew the tendencies of the Buffalo Bills to go zone in that area. Mm-hmm. It's about detail. And the detail that the coach, the offensive coordinator, should have passed down to Lamar is if they spread to zone, run the football. That's about detail. People want to put it on Lamar, but I've sat in playoff meeting rooms for 8 of my 10 years in the NFL. And every game that we won was strictly about details. And every game that we lost was strictly about what if, and detail. So I look at Lamar Jackson, I see Michael Vick all over again, and the explosiveness is incredible. I want him to get some playmakers. You know, when you're on that first contract as a quarterback, Andy Reid did it in Kansas City. He got Patrick Mahomes a ton of weapons under that first contract when he had available money. I want to see Baltimore go out and get him some wide receivers, not just go get Dez Bryant. I'm talking about some game changers, some playmakers, where this guy can go back and throw the football. They can run the football, whoever they line up in that backfield. But when it comes to throwing the football, they throw to the tight end and they throw to the running back. People think that's by design. No, that's not by design. If your receivers are open, you throw to them. But they don't have those weapons in Baltimore to really get them past to the next level.
When I see them, they have a bunch of fast guys that can't run routes.
You hit it on the head.
Yeah, and think about it. For to throw the ball to those guys, I have to wait four and a half seconds to throw it down the field to them. Because if they can't – see, the thing about a guy like Antonio Brown, he'll route you to death. You know, guy like you and with Steve Smith within his league – they'll route you, then they run right past you.
Right.
But these guys, they go routes all day, and it's hard as hell to throw a go route all day if you don't have the time to do it.
And they have to time up perfectly. You know, I agree with you totally, B. Mitch. I say they got fast guys, but they don't have a guy that can run that 15-yard comeback, stick their foot in the ground, come out their break, drop their hips, and come back down the stem and convert that third down conversion. I agree. All I see is post routes. Broken plays where Lamar is scrambling in the backfield and guys find a way to creep open. I don't see that drop back three-step. I'm going to hit Hollywood Brown, our number one receiver, on a slant route, or I'm going to hit him on a 15-yard dig route. There's just like hope when you watch that Ravens passing attack, and that has to change. You have to get Lamar Jackson weapons to really, really see his true skill come through.
I don't know if you pay attention a lot to Washington, but there's a receiver here in Terry McLaurin. And
yes,
the kid was a third-round draft pick last year, got right at 1,000, had over 1,000 yards this year when he basically was the only guy people cared about or respected early. But he got some little injuries, a high ankle sprain and stuff later in the season, but still came in and made touchdowns. Yeah, if you had a chance to see him, what are your thoughts on Terry McLaurin?
I watched McLaurin. I watched him coming out of college. And I definitely watched him this year, and I was totally blown away by the strides he made as a rookie. You know, I was a third round draft pick, and it took me a whole year of watching the older guys like Mark Ingram and Anthony Morgan and Robert Brooks do it in front of me. So it took me a whole year just to get the confidence and the know-how to go out there and be a part of an offense. But the way he's come in and grasped the offense, and it just seems like he fits right in. One of the good things for him is, you know, they had a young quarterback potentially that they wanted to put in there. So everybody was growing at once. And just the strides that he made throughout the season, becoming the Redskins' number one receiver, man, the sky's the limit. And now you just look to pair a guy like that up with a top-notch quarterback. And the way that Redskins' defense is playing, man, they're only going to get better from here on. But you got to take advantage of these moments. You have some backs. You have that explosive receiver. Now go get them some help and bring in a quarterback that can win games for you.
And I think that's finished up by Andy Reid. You watched the game the other night. It's 4th-and-1. They're at midfield. He's coming up to the line of scrimmage. You got Chad Henne. I'm thinking he's about to run a play. And all the announcers, oh, there's no way. He's just trying to draw them off. If they know the Andy Reid I know, they knew a play was coming. I remember in Dallas the year he comes up and said, get the offense ready. I'm like, coach, we're kicking off. He said, I know. First game, first play, we had an onside kick. We beat him 38-7 in that pickle juice game. And the man just has all kind of plays. Your thoughts on Andy and how he's basically reinvented himself or continued his innovation, say it like that.
You know, Andy Reid finally has a full plate. You know, he had a lot of his plate full before, but there was always something missing. Maybe the napkin, maybe the salt shaker, maybe that courtesy glass of water. But he's got all the weapons that he's need. Andy, it should be sitting in his office, just sitting back like he's playing video games. Here's a guy that addressed every position that you need to be explosive while Patrick Mahomes was under that rookie contract. Now those guys are under contract as Patrick Mahomes gets his blockbuster deal. A guy who did it the right way. You and I know, B. Mitch, that's Andy's culture. If Andy has the pieces to do that, he might go for every 4th-and-inch and every 4th-and-3. If everything is intact. And just remember watching that play, I had those same feelings. I said, Andy might be lulling them to sleep just to see that body language as everybody thinks he's running the clock down. But I didn't think he would do it with Henne back there, but that's Andy Reid. I was a part of that team when Donovan McNabb got hurt, A.J. Feely got hurt, yep. Coy Detmer got hurt. It didn't matter who was in the game. Andy has that much belief, not only in his coaches to teach these guys, but in the application and the execution from these guys. And, man, that's only a play that Andy Reid would do. He might be old in coaching years, but he's young at heart with playing with all those young, explosive, fast guys.
Well, I'll tell you this. Just got to remember when Donovan and Coy got hurt, the person that was backing up AJ was me. So be happy I didn't get in the game. Y'all would have caught a pass. I'd be running every damn thing.
Oh, man, I would have loved that, man. All the practice days, you distracted me in the back while I, you know, and got me in trouble. I would have loved to see you get under that fire, man, one time.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate you, man. Thanks for giving us some time, man.
All right,
that's Antonio Freeman, former Philadelphia Eagle, Miami Dolphin, and Green Bay Packers. He was, like I said, in the Packer Hall of Fame, talking to us here on the Brian Mitchell Show about the things that are going on right there in Green Bay. But let's find out what else is happening around the sports world.
Here's what's trending on the Team 980.
All right, coming up around 2:42, we'll be joined by Chase Hughes. He's going to talk to us about the things that are going on with the Washington Wizards. They were supposed to be playing the Charlotte Hornets tonight, but that game has been postponed. I want to find out from Chase exactly how are they going to make up all those games that have been postponed. They have a ton left. And let's remember this, too. The NBA did not put out the second half of the season. Will they seriously have to adjust that? And Phillip Rivers today retired. After he's ranked fifth in the NFL history with 63,440 yards, only behind Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and Brett Favre. He led the Indianapolis Colts to 11-5 record this season to a playoff berth. They were eliminated by the Buffalo Bills. Hey, that says a lot about a guy who's been 17 years into the league, had some injuries, but still always came out to be a fighter. He said one thing he did, he left everything out on the football field, and I totally believe him. This is the Brian Mitchell Show. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. The Daily Sports Line is brought to you by DC Lottery's new sportsbook, Gambit DC. Download today at gambitdc.com. That's GAMBETDC.com and access spreads, money line, over and under, and live in-game betting all at your fingertips. It's sports, only better. Well, the phone lines are back open, 301-230-0980. We're taking your calls. It's open phone line Wednesday today, as we always do, to make sure we can get over the hump, help each other get over the hump. But just thinking about Phillip Rivers, it made me start thinking about what people will be looking for. I know that the NFL has become a copycat league. It's always been a copycat league. But let's look at the quarterbacks that are remaining right now. And you look at a little bit at Patrick Mahomes. Not the guy who is super athletic, but he's very mobile and will take the chances. Looking at a guy like Tom Brady, who stands in the pocket. He's not athletic by no stretch, but he will move around in the pocket and have a – he's like a ballerina in the pocket. Okay? You have my guy up there, Allen, Josh Allen. Josh Allen is athletic. He will move around. And then we go up there to Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers, a guy who is very much can do it from the pocket, can throw the ball, and he can throw any throw, say it like that. But he can extend plays. And earlier in his career, I felt that what was a blessing to him was definitely also a curse, because he got hit a lot and he would get those injuries. Well, the league is trying to protect those guys. But as we look forward, are you really looking for a quarterback that is just supremely athletic? Are you looking for a quarterback who has that cerebral strength, and also has the strength to just be able to move around? Drew Brees is sub 6 feet, most people will tell you. 11, he might be 11 feet and 15, 16, I mean 5 feet and 11 inches and 15, 16th of an inch. But I don't think he's 6 feet tall. Okay, maybe when he put on his tennis shoes, you know, if he gets some of those Hokas or something like that with that thick, thick sole. But ultimately, the guy knew how to maneuver in the pocket. And I think as we move forward, what people have to understand is we see someone every year and we believe that they're going to change what football is all about. But I still think the quarterback position is about having a tough ass, but also being super intelligent. I look at guys like Brett Favre, Brett Favre had a little bit of everything. He was tough as hell. He was intelligent. And, you know, Brett has some mobility. I competed against him in college. He was quarterback. I was quarterback. But when I look at Phillip Rivers, a guy who played all those years in San Diego and then left there and went to Indianapolis last year, he passed for 4,169 yards, 24 touchdowns, okay? Led the Colts to 11-5 record. I ask the question to anybody out there, would you take 11-5 every year with your quarterback? Will you take 24 touchdowns and not more interceptions? I'll take it. You know, I think we get so caught up. Patrick Mahomes may be a once in a lifetime. That dude can throw the ball at any angle, all over the field, and seems to be able to see everything. We talk about people having eyes in the back of their heads. Well, Patrick Mahomes plays like he has eyes in the back of his head. You know, he'll be running one way, and then all of a sudden you see him, just ball comes out. He throws sidearm. He throws no-look passes in football. Has anybody ever seen somebody throw a no-look pass in football? He does it on a consistent basis. I'm sitting there watching one day, and I'm like, okay, what is he doing? He was in warm-ups practicing no-look passes. So when we see guys like a Steph Curry who can pull it up from anywhere, look at how many shots he shoots. The guy shot over 100 three-pointers and hit it over 100 three-pointers in a row. So if you got guys out there that are that damn good, constantly working on their trade, for every young kid out there, if you want to be the next Chase Young, if you want to be the next Patrick Mahomes, if you want to be the next Aaron Rodgers or the Aaron Donald, you have to be working on your craft on a consistent basis. Those guys didn't just show up one day and say, hey, I want to be good now. No, they showed up every day, all day, and worked towards getting to that, to where now when they step on the field, it's not just, you know, something that happens. It's instinct. It's reactionary. You know, I go back to when the Colts were, Peyton Manning was there, but on the opposite side of the football, you know, there's a guy named Dwight Freeney. who was a bad man. He had pass rush ability after pass rush ability after pass rush. He will come at you one time up and under. Next time, over the top. Next time, he'll give you a spin move. And the next time you wait for some of that, he'll put his hammer right in the middle of your chest and run over you. Chase Young going to take that step. Chase Young has to improve it. So he can be one of the historical greats, you know. So quarterbacking is no different than any sport, any other position out there. Yes, we put more attention on it. But if you're going to be somebody who's going to be damn good, and when people prepare for you, they can't prepare because you got something else for them, you need to have a backup to the backup that you may have against your best move. And then make sure when people are, he's setting up. Oh, you see him set. Oh, he's waiting on the power move. Bam, spin on him. And I think that makes you great. So don't think that people just show up with it. Understand that they work hard. And I don't care what the profession is. Put that extra work in. Do your things that you're supposed to be doing over and over again and see how it happens for you. Let's go to the phone lines, 301-230-0980. Let's go to Germantown and check out Lamont. What's up, Lamont?
Great show, user brother. You know what? I'm surprised I added in so quick. I just called a second ago. But anyway, we need someone consistent and a leader. And here's what I call these great quarterbacks like we see in Baltimore and KKC. They're like video game quarterback, meaning they like a dream. Like, wow, we've seen them do this and do that. And we're not going to get superstar quarterbacks like that. That's just once-in-a-lifetime type of quarterback. So he's a leader and consistent. If he throws three interceptions, fine. But he's battling. He got a bloody nose. And he's still going hard. So, yeah. Now, you know, we need somebody just got a little bit of attitude and going to be there, you know, for the team at all times, from game one to game 16.
All right, man. Appreciate your call. And I think you're exactly right, because, like, let's think about what the guys say about Alex Smith. They say Alex brings a calming influence to us. So he's a guy who steps in the huddle. He doesn't seem to be rattled. So he keeps everybody under control. He's a guy also who say, hey, before you go out, make sure you're looking for this, because if they're in this defense, I'm going to come at you. So he gives guys little tidbits and tips, which makes it easy for them to play the game. You know, when I became a punt returner, I didn't know a damn thing about punt returning when I first got in the league. I didn't know nothing about kick returning. I was a quarterback, 9 years. So I get here and they put me in a position. And the one thing that Lamont just stated was about being consistent. So I said, I'm going to run full speed every time I get the ball. If it's a right return, I'm only running so far right, then I'm getting up the field. For the left return, I'm going only so far left, then I'm going up the field. If it's a middle return, I'm going to start one direction to the other, but then they know I'm going to plant my foot and get up the field. So eventually everybody knew at every play, B. Mitch is coming up the field. In practice, when we were practicing with helmets on and shoulder pads or not, I'm running up the field. My hole is supposed to be between R4 and R3. If you're in the hole, I'm going to run over you. And after I began to do that, guess what? I noticed people got out the holes. And then when somebody else go back, they start dancing. We got penalties and things of that nature, but they knew I was consistently going to do the same things over and over again. And as Lamont said, that's not just for the quarterback position. It's for every position. It's for the coaches. How the coaches are going to make you go out there and prepare. How are you going to practice? John Harbaugh asked me when I went to Philly, how do you practice? How do you want to do this thing? I said, Coach, just kick the ball off, and I'm going to do what I normally do. And I say, after I did it about the 10th time, everybody will realize what I'm doing. And after I ran over a few of my own blockers, they began to see how I was doing it. And they saw that in the game, I ran the same way. So all of a sudden, practice became more like us getting ready for a dance routine. You ever notice when you have, like, multiple people and they have one section practicing theirs and the other section practicing theirs, they don't do all that at one time. They have one section practice, then the other section, then everything starts coming together. Now we could do it, and then when you see it, the finished product, it looks like, wow, they did it. No, they came from start to finish. And that's how we had to start it, to where everybody always knew, go full speed, because he may end up over there with you. And if you're in the wrong spot, his helmet may end up in your back. So we took it and we were serious about it. And I think every time you step on the field, every time you step on court, every time you go to work, just do just a little extra, a little harder. Make it to a situation where you're in one of those crunch time situations where things are stressing you a little bit, and see what you can do, because you have to be calm under the fire. If you're calm under the fire, great things will happen for you. All right, let's take us a quick break here. And when we get back, let's remember at 2:42, we'll be joined by Chase Hughes, NBC Sports Washington, covers the NBA and the Wizards. Get his take on how are they going to make up these games that they have to make up with the Wiz. But the phone lines will remain open for the next two segments, 301-230-0980. I understand we had the inauguration today. President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris are all in place now, and they're ready to start doing the things that they do. But let's get back to our sports world now, all right? Let's make our calls, 301-230-0980. This is the Brian Mitchell Show. We'll be back in a few.